My name is Lindsay. I am a compulsive eater. Very, very grateful to be here today in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. It is one of the most comfortable places for me to be, where I feel the most at home, where I feel the most welcome, where I feel the most at ease, and where I know I belong. And I lived many years of my life not having a place like that. I've done leads before. I've shared my experience, strength, and hope in this platform, in this program, and in another one that I'm a member of. I was told that we share what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. So I will try to do that today. My sponsor also tells me that at least I got to mention higher power a little bit. So I'll hopefully get that in as well and tick all those boxes off. I won't spend too much time on what it was like. I think that's kind of the least interesting thing, but I definitely want to qualify and make sure that I remind myself of what it was like because I have to continuously do that. Also, I'm just going to say a quick third step prayer to ground myself and center myself. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those thou would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. So, I was born. I was born, that's how I got here. I was raised by two parents, a mother and a father. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was a workaholic military man. Both my parents were in the military, actually. That's where they met. So they both came with some character traits that come with being in the military, which there are some good ones and there's some intense ones as well. My mother got out of the service though before she had me, so I moved around a lot when I was growing up, and I'm an only child. My parents got separated when I was about 10 years old and divorced when I was 11. We were living in Maryland at the time, and you have to be separated for a year before you get divorced in that state. So, the silver lining of that cloud is my parents' relationship dramatically improved once they were no longer living under the same roof. They remained friends to the day of my mother's death, which was 5 years and 13 days ago. She died sober, so spoiler alert, she got better, which is amazing. But she didn't get sober till I was 18. So the first 18 years of my life, I was raised by an alcoholic parent. And sometimes she was kind of like a single mother. My father, for his military job, would have to be out of the state, out of the country, for days, weeks, months, even a year at one point. They did the best that they could. My parents were imperfect people, raised by imperfect people, doing the best they could. And unfortunately, sometimes the best they could was not enough. I was by no means materially neglected. I never had to worry about roof over my head. Food insecurity was not something that I dealt with. That's not a root of my compulsive overeating or compulsive eating and food behaviors. But definitely there was this feeling of impermanence because I moved around so much when I was little. Where are we going to go to next? I'm going to have to make all new friends. I'm going to have to readjust. I'm going to have to pack all my stuff and move. And also just the last, I'd say, I think I got separated when I was about 10. The last 3 years of that was pretty rough in the house. A lot of fighting. They tried to do it not in front of me, but and even when they weren't fighting, they were definitely cold to each other because they were angry. And I learned anger. I learned resentment early on. I learned what discomfort, extreme discomfort, feels like. And I learned how to soothe myself with food. And food worked really, really well for a really long time into my 30s. I started gaining weight and I lived in an obese, overweight body until I had surgery, which was in 2015, October 2015. So, 8 years ago, right around this time, was when I had surgery. I had gotten to over 300 pounds. I'm 5'8". I was morbidly obese. And I had never tried OA before, but I had tried every single diet. I remember being on SlimFast when I was 12, in the cans before they put them in plastic bottles. They were in cans. They tasted like metal. They were disgusting. I was a binge eater. I was never a restrictor or ha nor never was a bulimic until later in life. That is evidence of the progression of this disease. But I was an emotional eater. I was a night eater. I was a comfort eater. I was a latchkey kid. So I'd be home for hours by myself. And my mom went to bed really early when she got home. She'd come home, be up for 2 hours, and then go to sleep at like 7 o'clock. So I had free rein of the food and whatever wasn't bolted down or locked away, I ate. And it was constant fighting with my mother about my food. Not so much about my weight. She wouldn't really, she would tiptoe around that issue, but constant fighting around the food. She was kind of the food police. And I grew up, she had her own issues with food. Most people do. But I grew up in a household with my mom where there was not a lot of junk food, not a lot of like quote unquote fun food, right? When you're 11, you think certain food is fun and certain food is not fun. I didn't get the fun food. There wasn't soda. There wasn't crunchy, salty. There wasn't a lot of candy and stuff. But at my dad's house, there was. And we became eating buddies together. And we gained weight together. And on a recent fourth step I did, I resented my mom for controlling my food too much and talking about it too much and being too on me about it. And I resented my dad for not being enough, not doing it enough. So just goes to show that whatever happens, I was destined for this. I was unhappy and resentful. Fast forward to when I have surgery. Like I said, I had gotten to over 300 pounds and I felt like I was 26 years old and I felt like my life was over. I could not, I had tried every diet. The only thing I didn't try was the pay and weigh, and that was for financial reasons. And I knew it wouldn't work anyways. I knew it wouldn't work. But every diet, every exercise regimen, all the discipline and willpower and trying that I could do, didn't work. So I looked into surgery and I was approved. I went through the pre-surgery prep, and I had actually I lied on my in my psychological evaluation because I said I didn't suffer with bulimia when I was like a teenager, but in my late 20s as a way to kind of start controlling what I ate, there were times where I would binge and purge, and I said that I'd only done it like once or twice, and that was a lie to her. And she was like, "Well, even just doing it once is a problem." And I was like, "I'll be fine. I'll be fine." Had the surgery, had good results from the surgery. I lost about 140 pounds. So my lowest weight was around 160, and that was in a normal B. That was in a normal healthy BMI for me, for my height. Again, I'm 5'8", so I'm a little on the tall side. However, I wasn't eating really balanced foods, and I kind of stopped taking my vitamins. So I was lightheaded and like on the verge of passing out a lot. That was kind of scary. So I wasn't taking very good care of myself. The surgery wasn't a magic pill for me to all of a sudden be good at taking care of myself. It addressed one thing, which was the amount of food I could put into my system. However, I gained all my weight back. When I put down the food, I picked up another substance that I have a huge problem with. Again, I alluded to it. I had an alcoholic mother, and I was always a hard drinker, but I couldn't eat like I wanted to, so I transferred addictions. And then I got to a point where I had to put that down. And I was 3 years out from surgery. I was maintaining, and I felt like I could eat normally. And I started eating those slider foods. I started eating those things that wouldn't fill me up, but had thousands of calories. And I gained back 50 pounds of weight in my first year of sobriety when I put down the alcohol. And that was scary. And that's when I started coming to OA because what I had was stomach surgery. I didn't have brain surgery. I think a weight loss surgery is an incredible tool. I think it saved my life because it kind of stopped the progression that I was going towards. I have diabetes, heart disease in my family. However, I'm a true compulsive overeater. I'm a true food addict. And for me, in my belief, only a spiritual solution can conquer that. Weight loss surgery is a tool for me. It's not the end all be all, and it did not solve my problem because I had stomach surgery. I didn't have brain surgery. There is no brain surgery I can do that can make me a normal eater. And I thought that I could. I thought that it would. That everything would be okay, and it is today. Everything's okay today. I'm okay, But there was a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of how could I have done this? How could I have thrown this away? Similar feelings to how I felt and how I feel when I go out in OA. How can I have thrown away those months of abstinence? How could I have thrown away this gift? But the reality is this stuff is really hard. It's very challenging for me. I have multiple addictions, and I've cut many of them out. And the food is by far the one that challenges me the most. My father says, take care of the alligator closest to the boat. And for me, there were some alligators that were closer than the food. But my God, the food alligator is the biggest one. Yeah, I was an alcoholic. Yeah, I was a drug addict. Yeah, I drink too much coffee. Still working on that one. But the food alligator is huge. And today I work a spiritual program to keep that alligator at bay. It will always be there, it will always be following my boat. But when it gets close, I have tools now. I have the steps. I have a sponsor. I have the literature. I have phone calls. I have a freaking phone. I have a computer in my pocket where I can get a meeting or a call in at any time. I have so many people on my phone with OA next to their name that I know that I can just reach out to. And if they don't answer, I have 15 more. Step one, two, and three were really important for me. And I've worked them a couple times because I've gone back out a couple times. I've been in and out of OA since 2019, and the longest time I've had abstinence is 5 months. I can't quite get that 5 month past that 5 month mark. I get complacent and I get bored and I get resentful that I have to do this. An addiction is on my fourth step, my most recent fourth step that I did, because I went out a couple like 2.5 months ago for a mercifully short amount of time. And while I was in the food, I was still going to meetings. I was still talking to people. I was still reading literature, still talking to my sponsor. And it was a 2 week turnaround versus last year. I was out for 9 months of hell, not a single meeting, not a single phone call, just isolation, food, misery. And this time, it was a derail. It was a speed bump, but not a complete derailment. And I'm really grateful for that. One, two, and three are really important. I have to work this on a daily basis because, as evidenced by the fact that I've gone back out so many times, that's evidence to me that I am not emphasizing and re-emphasizing to me my powerlessness. If I think that I can control myself when I take that compulsive bite, that's me in denial. That's me, like in the doctor's opinion, not being able to differentiate the true from the false. That's me living in a fantasy world. Then that fantasy is that I'm a normal eater. And I'm not. I have a disease. Sucks to say that. But I have brown hair. I was blonde for a while. Tried to like move, but I have brown hair. The hair that grows out of my head is brown. And I'm a compulsive eater. And I have to play the cards I'm dealt with. It says in the big book, it's in There Is a Solution. On page 25, I'm not going to substitute out. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. Yep. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could. And the other to accept spiritual help. Now that I've ex ad admitted what I have and am ex working on accepting it one day at a time, I have two choices. I can pretend it doesn't exist, fingers in my ears, la 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 la, or I can work on the solution, which is outlined for me in the book Alcoholics Anonymous and in the OA literature. I work the steps with a sponsor. I'm on six and seven now again, and it's a lot. There's a lot of uncovering, discovering, and discarding in those steps for sure. A lot of
Five one.
thanks, Cheryl. Thank you. A lot of looking at all those other unhealthy behaviors. It's not just about the food. Food is a symptom of a bigger issue, which is me, my inability to cope with life in abstinence, basically, with my inability to cope with life without food as a friend, shitty friend, but a friend, a companion, a comforter. A soother and anesthetizer. Food was my medicine. I medicated with food, and that's not the way I live today. When I'm in, that's not the way I live when I'm in program and in fit spiritual condition. Food is fuel. I need it. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to eat, but I do. It'd be so much easier. But I do. And I have a lot of support. And I have a higher power, which I'll talk about briefly in my last kind of couple minutes. When I first came into the rooms of 12 step, like I said, I came into OA from a different 12 step. I was a militant atheist, had no interest in spirituality, had no interest in God, couldn't even say the word, couldn't even read the word. I crossed the word out a bunch of times in my big book and wrote HP. Like that's how much I didn't even want to see the word. I didn't necessarily have a traumatic religious upbringing. I just was like, eh, good for them, not for me. But good for me. Good for me. I have fully come to the terms with the fact that I am a spiritual being as well as a physical and mental being. And I've begun to tap into that spiritual side of me. I've begun to work on cultivating my spiritual development, and that will continue for the rest of my life. My higher power concept, people ask me about it sometimes, and it's pretty simple. This is all I've worked out so far, and I'll let you know what it is. There is a God, and I'm not it. That's it. I have a list of character traits that I like my higher power to have, but really, I don't know who I'm praying to or what I'm praying to. I know prayer works, though. I don't know. Yeah, all I know is that there is a God and it's not me. And I have to turn that stuff over. I'll talk about service quickly, too. That's been a really important part of my recovery. Says in Forward to the second edition. It says, it also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Service keeps me in the rooms, it keeps me accountable, it keeps me out of myself, even for 5 minutes when I'm talking to someone about how their day's going or talking to someone about their struggles. Yes, I call people and talk about my struggles, which sometimes I need to. There's a give and take. Right? It says in A Vision for You, we cannot transmit something we haven't gotten. So if my cup's not full, I can't pour it into someone else's cup. So sometimes I need to call to fill my cup up, and sometimes my cup is overflowing and I call and do outreach for other people. Sharing on a meeting is service. Doing this is service. And I have boundaries, so I don't say yes to everything, but if it's not too much hassle and it's not at the detriment to me, I will be of service. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. If you're new to OA, keep coming back like I did. My road has been really bumpy and I kept showing up, and that's what's really important to me, and I give myself grace.
Yeah, a minute.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm really starting to enjoy the person that I am today, which is hard for me to say. I'm grateful for the opportunity to live today in recovery. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be of service to other people. I'm grateful for everything that I went through. I'm grateful for the opportunities and the life that I've had. And I think I'll wrap up with that. So thank you all very much.